intro.
Welcome to National Bugle Radio. I'm filling in as the host opening the show, at least, for the good doctor, Richard Carey. I do the show just prior to this, Beyond the Official Narrative. And we're going to have Dr. Patrick Slattery here with us on location today, actually, live from Washington, D.C., and this is January 6th, 2021. Very much looking forward to hearing the updates from the boots-on-the-ground reporting of Batman himself, Dr. Slattery, and it's a pleasure to meet you at the same time, sir. Looks like we might not be picking you up too well. Maybe calling in from the phone might be necessary, Dr. Slattery. I'm not sure we're picking you up as well on Skype here. You're breaking up quite a bit, sir.
I was saying things, and I might try calling in with a different connection, but I'm in front of the Capitol there. It's got patriots have pushed it through the barricade and are surrounding the Capitol. District of Columbia the mayor. Black Lives Matter.
You're really breaking up, sir. We're only catching. Okay. Yeah, you have to please call in, and hopefully it'll work a lot better. It sounds like that there were barricades and people surrounding the building is some of what it seemed like I caught there, and then he was about to mention something related to Black Lives Matter, but it sounded a little intense there. Well, this is exciting. Yeah, hopefully you'll be able to call back in, and hopefully it's a good exciting as far as at least the energy of the people, and hopefully that'll affect Pence and his decision as well, for that matter. But again, folks, this is National Bugle Radio, and we are going to have Dr. Slattery coming back on location live this January 6th. From Washington, D.C., Trump was just doing a great speech 2 hours ago. He started it, and I caught some of that during the first hour. It looks like we do have Dr. Slattery back on the line. Hello.
Is this a better connection?
Much better, sir. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for manning the studio for me. So I'm here in front of the Capitol building, and you can hear, it kind of sounds like cannons. I guess maybe they're tear gas bombs. Some 15 minutes ago or so, there was, you can see the tear gas. The tear gas right in front of the Capitol building. Those patriots had tried to storm up the Capitol steps. At the time, I was on the other side of the Capitol, so I didn't witness that happening. But I've come around to the front, and so there's tear gas that's obviously being deployed on the steps of the Capitol. the D.C., the District of Columbia Police. And you got to understand, around here, you've got a variety of police forces. So there's the Capitol Police that are typically have jurisdiction around here, and they would be under the direction of the congressional leaders. The District of Columbia Police are under the mayor, who is a, you know, a Black Lives Matter radical. And she sent riot police down, I guess this is North Capitol Street or whatever. Maybe it's, I guess it's First Street. She sent them down here, and you could see the riot police. They went up to the area between Capitol and Union Station. They're patriots pushed past barricades. They're kind of surrounding the Capitol. Meanwhile, you've got the congressmen, the representatives and the senators are debating the objections to the electoral votes from Arizona. And what's significant is that Mike Pence did not open the electoral votes that were cast by the Trump electors from Arizona. He only opened the certificate from the Democrat electors, which were objected to, but it's a different procedure if you have two rival sets of electoral votes as opposed to a single set. And that, I think that's Mike Pence has shown his hand right now, that he is absolutely not on board with defending the Republic, that Mike Pence, he is not siding with us. And so the patriots here, and I'm calling them patriots, the Trump supporters, they are all, there's a massive number, and they've surrounded at least, I mean, I've been around three sides of the Capitol. I haven't been on the south side, but I imagine that's around the two. So that's what I'm seeing here on the ground. Richard, what are you hearing in the studio?
Well, I mean, I caught some of Trump's speech 2 hours ago, and as far as the live coverage, I mean, it seems like it's very negative. The speaker's saying that you know, things aren't very justifiable, basically. But yeah, does this seem organized? These people who are storming the Capitol, does this seem like organized? Could it be like Proud Boys and/or other potential agent provocateur, or just random patriots who weren't part of any group?
So like I said, I did not witness the originals. I was on the other side of the Capitol when it happened. I was on the phone with somebody who was talking to me in real time. So I didn't witness them going up, but apparently they went up, and the Capitol Police pulled out their weapons, but the patriots continued to go up, and the Capitol Police, I guess, retreated into the building. So I don't know if anybody has breached really into the Capitol building. The Capitol building has an enormous number of doors going into it. It's an enormous building, and I'm very familiar with the building. There are doors and entrances all around, and of course there are the tunnels that I've spoken of. So I don't know if the Capitol building itself has actually been breached or not, but the grounds are surrounded. And I was listening on C-SPAN radio until showtime, and the House of Representatives debate was being broadcast, and there was nothing reflected in their debate that the Capitol had been breached. But I think, yes. And I'm hearing, you know, it sounds like cannon fire. I assume that's tear gas grenades that are in the background, if you can hear it.
So do you think it's quite possible that these aren't people who are trying to intentionally create a bad situation, that these are people who just don't know any better, who are possibly storming the Capitol?
I don't know. I'm not in a position to answer that question.
Of course.
The best scenario for today would be for them to suspend this session of Congress, to adjourn for the day, which, you know, it provides more time for other things. tomorrow the legislature of Wisconsin is supposed to come into session, and there will be a resolution to decertify the Wisconsin electoral votes, the electors for Biden, and certify the Trump electors instead. So I think the best...
Somebody's up on, all the way at the top.
Somebody on the top of what?
That's the flag, and that's what the crowd is cheering at.
Okay, so he's got up to the top of the Capitol steps?
Yeah, he's all the way at the top. Can you see?
Yeah, I'm with Jason Cunha with No White Guilt. And so, yeah, there's progress here. But so to stop, if the joint session has to adjourn today, not getting past counting Arizona's votes, that's a good outcome for today, because it allows for things to happen in state legislatures and elsewhere over the next few days. So that's probably the best outcome we can hope for today. And, you know, I'm not encouraging anybody to do illegal activities, but, you know, no, I haven't heard of anybody on our side with guns or anything like that. And honestly, typically you are allowed to go into the Capitol. I mean, I've been in the Capitol billions of times. You can go in the Capitol. And typically you would be able to even go in and watch a joint session. I've gone in and watched confirmation hearings before. So storming the Capitol, I mean, it's, to the extent it's illegal, I mean, this is our house. And to the extent it's illegal, I mean, it's like, okay, it looks like you've got a lot of... Okay, they're already up on... And I'm not sure... I think they're over on... Isn't that the Senate side? So they're up... They've gone up onto the... There's a big balcony. So they're up on the balcony. They've gotten that far. And, of course, from the balcony, there are a zillion entrances. So they may very well get into the... inside the Capitol. And what that would do, I would shut down the joint session. They would have to return. Do you have any news or questions?
Wow. Well, I mean, as far as the states with dual slates of electors, I mean, the fact that Pence hasn't opened those envelopes, does that indicate that that may be a futile? But another approach such as, like you mentioned, with Arizona already not being determined. I don't know what would you assess then of that? And also, is the 20th a hardline deadline if some of these states revoke a certification for Biden?
So the 20th is the expiration of Pence and Trump's term. If there's not a new president certified, then the Speaker of the House would become the president, the acting president, but would also have to resign from the House of Representatives in order to become acting president. And I don't know if Nancy Pelosi would necessarily even want to do that. So it wouldn't necessarily be Nancy Pelosi. And there are constitutional scholars who say that the wording of the relevant, I don't know if it's legislation or amendment, but it actually shouldn't be the Speaker of the House, it should be the Secretary of State. So that gets tricky. But the main thing is that by Pence not opening the Trump electoral vote certificate from Arizona, if we just simply allow Congress to have this process run, it would result in Joseph Biden being certified. And so the only strategy now really is to force this session of Congress to adjourn to buy us more time for the state legislatures to act.
Okay, and I have a co-host here who might have a question or two for you. He actually is in Scotland, but he follows American politics quite a bit. Graham, do you have some questions for Dr. Slattery about what's going on the ground there right now, or about the legislative process?
Is there a, yeah, it sounds like there's some kind of counter demonstration going on. Would that be right?
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite make out what you said.
I said, is there some kind of counter demonstration going on? Because I can hear bangs and cracks in the background.
Oh, yeah. So what you're hearing, I guess those are, those must be tear gas grenades. I did see clouds of tear gas on the Capitol steps. And, of course, the Trump people have gone past the Capitol steps. They're up to, they've gone to the top, and now they're surrounding. You know, I don't remember which, if it's the north side is where the Senate is.
Look, they're climbing. They're climbing the wall.
Okay, now they're you got climbing people climbing the wall. The wall. Right? They're climbing the wall up onto the balcony.
Wow, scaling the building.
They're scaling the sides of the building. And this is massive. And I, you know, I could turn back on C-SPAN to see if they're still debating this.
Are these Trump supporters or counter-demonstrators?
Well, yeah, counter. Are there any counter-protesters, Graham is asking?
No, no. There's just riots. There are riot police and the various police.
Okay, okay.
But I'm still hearing on C-SPAN, there's still the congressmen are still debating the objection. So they haven't adjourned yet. But that would be, I think, the best hope for right now. Would be to force an adjournment for the day.
Nobody left off.
We'll see.
Interesting. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, yes, sir. Yeah, did you have something to contribute, please?
Oh, no, I mean, there's a lot of action. Now, if I turn around and I look back, you know, you look down Pennsylvania Avenue towards the White House, and it's just a throng of people. I had gone around originally to the back because I would, you know, I've been talking that I would like to have the streets clogged, not just in the front of the Capitol, but around the many, many exits from tunnels, because there's tunnels that connect the Capitol to the various congressional office buildings. And right now it seems like most of the people are out in the front, but... we'll see.
I feel like I'm making my
way down in Morrison. Well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I certainly would think that these people would be
a
force of intimidation to do the right thing. But it's dismaying what you say Pence is acting like so far. That's not a good sign for sure.
It might have been lost on most people, but there's a difference between opening up the one certificate of both and opening up both. Because if you open up one, you need to have both houses of Congress vote to object to them in order for them not to be counted. If you open up two rival sets, then you've got, it's a somewhat more involved process. And if the House decides to accept one certificate and the Senate decides on the other, there's a process, but at the end of the day, then it winds up being which certificate was certified by the state governor. And the state governor's certified Democratic certificates. So at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily change things that way. So the main thing is basically to stop the count until we could get a fair hearing. And, you know, the state legislatures are starting to act. One of the problems that we have been having was the state legislatures, some of them were not in session, and the governors refused to call them into session. But in January, most state legislatures come into session anyway. They come into their regular session. And so now they're in a position to act. And so the idea is not to let Congress certify this before state legislatures had a chance, because in most states they never had a chance because they weren't in session, or if they were in session, their traitorous, treacherous Republican leaders closed the session before allowing any real look at the electoral fraud.
A lot of people have been threatened as well. Isn't that right, Dr. Slattery?
You know, I can't speak directly about that, but, you know, there's a lot of ways to threaten people implicitly and explicitly.
Yes, yeah. Of course. Well, I mean, yeah, it's very interesting how they keep using this phrase, a threat to our democracy. You know, to even have an election commission would be a threat to our democracy. And, well, so some are saying if Pence sides with Biden, should Trump initiate the Insurrection Act? Do you think that's realistic, that could actually happen in spite of the military making these declarations recently that Trump better not and all this?
So the declarations, I mean, the 10 living former secretaries of defense, which is really a rogues gallery. You're talking about, you know, Donald Rumsfeld and Mattis and just like a whole bunch of really horrible people. You know, they've said he mustn't involve the military. The military brass I've never had any faith in. So I don't know if the military would, even if Donald Trump tried to declare martial law or invoke the Insurrection Act, I don't know what they would do. I don't have faith that the military would follow Donald Trump's commands at this point. Based on, A, when he ordered them out of Syria, they didn't leave. You've already had revelations that they were lying to him about troop levels in Syria. And then, of course, last summer when you had the Black Lives Matter rioters threatening the White House, they refused to supply troops to protect the White House, and instead he had to go to the Justice Department to get federal marshals or whatever it was that wound up protecting the White House. So I don't have faith in it, but after, you know, you heard the same Trump speech I did, and after hearing that Trump speech, Trump doesn't sound like he wants to back down. And even if I think it probably wouldn't work, can I say that Donald Trump wouldn't at least try it? I don't know. Maybe he would try to call in the military. We'll see.
Yes. Yes. And as far as the tunnels you mentioned, therefore, I mean, if they had to, you know, that wouldn't be that intimidating the crowds outside if there were escape routes, so to speak, to the train stations and wherever. But I don't know. Are they going to go through every state then? And how long is this going to take to get through all the states? Like, when will they adjourn today, if you were to guess? Because I see it looked like they were in recess a moment ago when I checked.
So just like 5 minutes ago or so, I turned on C-SPAN radio and I could hear the House. I assume it was the House, but I could hear debate. And so at somewhere around, you know, 1:15, 1:30, I guess around, are they on the scaffolding? Okay. I mean, wow. So they're way up there. Okay. They've gone up to the scaffolding to like a even higher level. So you're getting more. So here's the thing. The House and the Senate, the objections took place around what, 1:30, 1:40 or so, I guess around 1:30. And then the senators, many of whom are elderly, had to walk, several hundred yards to get to their chambers on the other side of the complex. And then debate starts, and they have 2 hours for debate.
All the way on top of the scaffolding.
All the way on top of the scaffolding. Yeah. So, I mean, the idea that the Capitol could be breached, the building itself, is very possible at this point. So they get 2 hours of debate. The debate started like, you know, 1:40 or so. So this is at least they're going to be debating about Arizona until about 3. Well, they won't be back to 4 o'clock. Okay, you got snipers on the roof now.
Right there.
Snipers on the roof of the Capitol.
Doesn't sound like it's developing very well.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, I've seen snipers on roofs in D.C. a lot.
Okay.
So the question was, how long will this take? And if the Republicans were serious, they would object to not just the votes from these six states, but they would object to Arkansas, which Trump won, just to force a slowdown in the process. Because if you were, say, 3 hours for each state, and you've got 50 states, you're talking 150 hours, and it's not like they're going to be doing this round the clock. You could drag this out by 2 weeks, and that would allow other developments to happen in state legislatures, in courts, in the public opinion. And that's, if I were the head of the, of course, Mitch McConnell is, Mitch McConnell and I don't see eye to eye, but if they were serious, they could do that, object to every single state. Right now, I think maybe they're only going to object to six states, but even that would take the process into tomorrow. But that's what we need to do right now, is just drag out the process, because I think after what happens today, it's going to be really, really hard for the press to repress all of this news and all right. of the information.
Yes, no, absolutely. Do you want to have us skip the bottom of the hour break? Are you going to be able to stick around for a bit still?
It sounded like people were trying to break into the House chamber, a lot of commotion.
Okay.
And Congressman is calling to order.
Okay, so apparently I'm hearing from Jason that that it seems that they might be in the House chamber or near the House chamber, and there's enough of a commotion that whoever's presiding in the House, which I would think is Nancy Pelosi, she was presiding earlier,
right.
that she is calling for order in the House. So if there's disorder, that's what we want. We want there to be so much disorder that they're going to adjourn for the day, and that's maybe the best we can hope for today, and then we'll see what happens tomorrow.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting if we actually had Patriots en masse breaking into the building and possibly holding a Congress hostage or taking it into their old hands. Is someone yelling fire over there now?
Excuse me?
Is there a fire now? Someone's yelling fire?
No, somebody was yelling, "This is our house."
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, it would be interesting if enough patriots broke in and they actually like tried to take Congress hostage and be like, "Oh no, come on, we've decided Trump won. We know," you know. If it just got insane, like a MAGA version of Chaz or something, but I don't know if it would get that extreme, right?
Well, yeah, and that's not exactly what it, physical
right.
violence or holding people hostage isn't exactly, that's not what I'm talking about. But what
right.
I'm talking about is just if you have the streets completely clogged up.
Oh, I know.
So that,
Drakey.
I was just kind of joking on that. Do you want us to take the bottom of the hour break or should we just skip it and just keep going?
Why don't you take a break and it'll give me a chance to regroup a bit and consult with Jason and get some more news for you on the other side of the break.
Sounds perfect. All right. Will do, Doctor. And yeah, folks, this is pretty exciting here. Now, Graham, did you have anything to, looks like, well, we'll get your insights right after the break. Yeah, we are here on location with your host, Dr. Patrick Slattery in D.C., and he will be back after the break. Stick around.
Between the two trees here,
yeah.
You see the flag waving. That's another level up.
Uh-huh.
Like
yeah.
you should be hearing the music.
And now more.
Ah, okay.
More on the-
right about now.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we are back on National Bugle Radio. I have the role of fill-in host, Richard Carey, and we have Dr. Patrick Slattery on location from Washington, D.C. This Stop the Steal electoral day rally.
So I just got... apparently CNN is reporting that the Trump supporters actually have gone into the Capitol complex, and the Senate and the House have been evacuated. And that's a big deal. And you just see there is a massive Trump flag that has been hoisted up. And so, you know, for the day, it looks like, the Capitol has been breached. And there are some young ladies standing next to me who were right in front of the Capitol when the Patriots originally went up the steps, and they were showing me their the video that they took. So there you have it.
Wait, so everything is adjourning for the day because of this, you said?
Well, apparently, if they're evacuating, that's what it would have to be.
Now,
how do they evacuate? Well, I guess everybody's down here by the Capitol complex. They could take the underground, you know, there's a little underground railroad and underground tunnels from here to the various House and Senate office building. So they're probably going back to their office building. I don't know if they're going up to Union Station. When I was up closer to Union Station half an hour, or like a little bit before the show, there weren't a lot of people on Union Station. But I was also seeing a lot of construction where that parking lot is. So I'm not even sure how many people are in the, how much that parking lot's actually usable right now. So, I don't know. It's interesting.
Wow.
That's, wish you were here.
Definitely. Yes, absolutely. And Graham, do you have any questions for Dr. Slattery, for Patrick?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, hi, sorry, I was muted there. Yeah, I was just trying to get a feeling, you know, for the vibe, you know, the kind of feeling that's going on there.
Well, I mean, it's pretty enthusiastic, and at least on the front of the Capitol, because I came back to the front, there's just huge numbers. Now, the thing is, if, you know, I had wanted, my assumption was that we would have, get the Capitol surrounded and clog the streets so that they would be stuck inside, and if they're stuck inside, they would be forced to do the people's business, so to speak. But I guess this is kind of a plan B. If the Capitol has been breached and they've been evacuated, then fine. If they're evacuating and they want to go through the tunnels and go out through the Library of Congress or Union Station or whatever, as far as I'm concerned, let them. You know, let them go. It's not like we're trying to physically threaten anybody, but we can't let the process. Okay, there's a little bit of construction equipment on the Capitol grounds, and now people are climbing all over that. And you can kind of compare this maybe to, he's not a hero of mine by any means, but Boris Yeltsin climbing on the tank. That's what, yeah, I'd really like to see is, you know, the Black Lives Matter rioters would burn police cars. You know, I'd like to see us not destroy anything, but
right,
just be fearless and, you know, climb on this stuff, right? Climb on the, if there's a, I don't want to damage the police car, but stand on the police car and make a speech. And I don't know, yeah, where Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes are. I'm sure they're here somewhere. I hope they do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, Dr. Slattery, I know that John Stadmiller is there as well. You and he should,
yes,
try to
is,
connect during the day.
I will try to connect with him. So, yeah.
Excellent.
It's action packed.
I'm sorry?
It's action packed.
And Julie, yep. Julie is mentioning in the control room, there were no police or security inside the Capitol when it was breached. They were just walking around.
Wow.
Okay. That's interesting. Maybe it's because the Capitol Police probably don't have the numbers to handle this type of thing.
The Patriots.
You know, I don't.
She says the Patriots were just walking around, that is, to clarify.
And they're not going to be tearing down statues. I'm sure they'll be very clean. But, you know,
yeah,
we just can't let the Congress critters vote our republic out of existence. And that's certifying a fake election. It's just the same as voting to terminate the republic.
Absolutely.
So,
and
yeah.
Oh, Julie does mention that I get. There are some reports, I guess, that they were taking statues or pictures, taking pictures or statues. So I don't know.
It's quite exciting.
Yeah, but as far as. Well, what, I mean, we're not going to expect then anything like Charlottesville to turn out, where they'll wind up being agent provocateurs before the day's over in the crowd, and that, or trying to make white people look bad in the way it turns out, you know, just like Heather, St. Heather or something. So far,
yeah,
it's very peaceful, and there's, and of course, the masses of people, you'd be crazy because you'd be so outnumbered there, you'd get destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, first of all, there are masses of people, there's kids, there's dogs, There are people in wheelchairs. There are people with walkers. I mean, I'm just listing the people as I walk past them right now in real time. So this is not like a violent crowd by any means. And I think the big I was, of course, I was at Charlottesville, and I went and witnessed everything. And the big difference is here we do have the overwhelming numbers. There would be no point in Antifa coming. I mean, if they came, A, they'd be overwhelmed. But B, all they do is help clog the streets. They would be helping us clog the streets. So there's no point in that. And I think because, you know, I couldn't rule out agent provocateurs, but when you've got such an overwhelming mass of peaceful people, that I think it makes it harder for an agent provocateur to start something. So,
very good.
So far, so good.
Excellent points. And just to clarify, I guess it was a typo. Julie was saying the Patriots were just walking around taking pictures of statues. We don't tear down. We just take a picture of the statue. Imagine that. Yeah, of course, you're not going to see, conservatives of Trump's support. Even littering, of course, you mentioned, it's a completely different crowd than the BLM. And but it's interesting how they get their way. Some people are trying to recommend we have to be just as criminal as the BLM to get change.
No.
But I wouldn't recommend that. And it would be the press would take it in a totally different way, the way they report on everything. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm walking around and aside from maybe a stray cigarette butt, there's no litter. Everything is completely orderly.
Wow, we're getting
a chance. Hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop the steal.
Okay, I'm. Hold on 1 second. I got it. I'm getting some news coming in.
Okay. Wow, this is very exciting, Graham, isn't it?
Getting a real sense of excitement there, Richard. Yeah, it feels a bit like history in the making, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay, we're getting a report coming or developing from Patrick.
We got a guy in an Uncle Sam outfit next to a guy in a Darth Vader outfit. It's very festive, I'll tell you that much. And do you have any information that you're getting in?
Well,
I haven't. No, not really to compete with that. I just noticed some articles about some different states. Arizona, for example, Arizona set to recertify electors for Trump. They found that 30%. Were addresses that didn't exist, for example. And even in California's 55 electoral votes for Biden suddenly targeted in a brand new action. A lawsuit accuses California officials of rampant election code violations and fraud that irreparably contaminated the results of the 2020 election. In Pennsylvania, we keep hearing a lot more developing in Pennsylvania as well, Patrick.
Right beside the scaffolding there.
So there is now a Confederate flag flying on the Capitol.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That just...
Well, so you see this thing?
There's a definite push. You see this? There's a definite push of bodies, the press of bodies.
They're pushing...
The media are going to demonize that. Of course, a symbol of hate, they're going to say, the Confederate flag.
And this is what Jason, who has better eyesight than me, said. I can't actually identify it, so who knows? But there are a variety of flags, that's for sure. But
you see where the grayish plastic coming like this? It goes like this.
I'm not
even scaffolding, right? Look at the right side of the scaffolding. It goes down the right side all the way to the bottom.
Oh, is that it? That's it. Okay. It's not that high, not that noticeable, but whatever. But you know, the governments of the, the communist countries were overthrown through this kind of action. It wasn't through guns and bullets.
So yeah, so far you're optimistic because of just how much has already occurred. I mean, with the demonstrators, I mean, what would you say on the numbers that are in attendance? I mean, I'm guessing it's at least over 1 million.
Wow.
I would have trouble saying. There's been,
the flag of Mississippi is up there, the original
Mississippi flag, which does have a Confederate flag on it. But it's hard to say. It could be 1 million, because I'm in the middle of it. And so, there's been times when I've been in, like when I was on the other side of the Capitol, I was kind of disappointed. I didn't think there was enough people. Then I walked back around to this side, and I could see between the Capitol and the White House, 16 blocks away, along Pennsylvania
Avenue.
Yeah,
but it's not in the background here. It's in the background there. There's thousands of people there.
Yeah, completely filled, and they were coming this way, and now they are this way. So you've got America the Beautiful being played right now, and I guess the Senate and the House have evacuated. So this is...
It's historic.
What's
going to
be the follow-up tomorrow? That's the question.
Oh, okay. And, as far as these, there'll be maybe more than just tomorrow needed now that it's adjourned for today. It'll need at least a couple more days, I guess, to go through all of the states. They're not going through every of the 50 states, just the ones that will have the dual slates of electors. Is that what it is?
Well, so if they've adjourned, I don't know what's going to happen. They're only on Arizona, which is the third state, and the first two states were Alaska and Alabama.
Is that law enforcement?
Okay, so there's
they're fighting.
Okay, now there is some confrontation between green fluorescent jacketed security and the people up on the balcony. They're trying to push them down the steps. But at this point, if the House and Senate have evacuated, we don't want them to come back today and start meeting again. So we don't want just like a one-hour break in this. But, you know, here's the thing, and maybe this is the main observation. All year long, you had our people just being repressed, being humiliated and demoralized. You had the Black Lives Matter rioters going and the press lauding them and saying how moral they were and how horrible that basically white people are because... Mayor Bowser issues a citywide curfew for D.C. for Wednesday, January 6th. Starting at 6 p.m. until Thursday, January 7th, 7 a.m. So the mayor is trying to break this up. Now, if the mayor breaks this up in order to have the Senate and the House come back and continue their dirty work, that's no good. So I don't think, at this point, I don't think we're even.
I'm sorry. What was the last part?
I don't think people are leaving.
Okay.
I don't think people are going to obey that 6 o'clock curfew. So
right.
We'll see what happens. I mean, and notice when Black Lives Matter was rioting, she didn't try to curfew them. So I mean, you've got all of these state and local officials who are participating in the overthrow of the American Republic. And you have to say it's a violent overthrow, because we're not violent, but the Black Lives Matter all summer long that we're using violence in order to intimidate, like the part and parcel of this whole steal the election, the theft of the election, was the intimidation. And where did most of the fraud take place? You look at the fraud that was taking place in the big black cities, and, you know, observers weren't able to observe the counting. Well, how is that happening? And part of it was the COVID stuff and the social distancing, but part of it was the intimidation of the white Trump supporters by the black local election officials.
I don't know what that means.
And did your colleague have anything that he maybe wanted to contribute, Patrick?
Yeah. Well, he's doing a live stream right now.
Oh, I see. So, okay. Well, it sounds like then you'd say it's a good thing, and that the more it's delayed, the better. And now, I mean, it was going to go into tomorrow. You were suspecting from the rate at which they were going through them. At the very least, now I would think more than that, like a couple days now at least, right?
People have just tried to go back to their offices, or if they're actually leaving the area. And if they're leaving the area, they're not coming back today. If they've just gone back to their office, they might think they're going to come back in a couple hours and resume the joint session. We don't want them to resume the joint session.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Yes, yeah, well, we'll see then. Hopefully it'll be delayed for the rest of the day. And these protesters can, well, I guess it's a good thing then. You'd say it's successful so far as the turnout and how it's developing. This isn't a bad thing, necessarily.
I think it's like, once Pence only opened the Democratic electoral certificate from Arizona, once he did that, he only opened that certificate, not the other certificate, he showed his hand, and there was no way to stop this other than what happened today. And as far as from what I've heard, I haven't heard of anything actually violent. It's just been American patriots not accepting the theft of our country. And so stopping this process, where does it go from here? It's hard to say, but, you know, there's been no bloodshed. There was no violence. I don't see any destruction of property. Nobody's stealing tennis shoes. So once Pence showed his hand, I don't think there was any option left other than, I think this was probably the best thing that you could hope for in the short term, because it buys us a little bit more time.
Right, understood. Well, that's promising then. And as far as the way people are behaving outside the building and everything, at least it's still not something that could be turned into a Charlottesville. From what your assessment is. The media might complain about things like the Confederate flag or some people actually breaking in to take photos. But, of course, the media will try to say, oh, look, these people even being there is a symbol of white supremacy. And there's no getting around that. But at the same time, the turnout is, it's only a good thing.
Well,
it hasn't turned into chaos or any kind of potential for riots so far. So that's been a success as well, it seems. The people.
Yeah. So regarding the flag, I saw one Confederate flag down by the White House. And then, Jason, I could barely see it, but there was one. It wasn't even very obvious down here, and it might have been the same one. Now, where I'm standing right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I can see 6 South Vietnamese flags. Yeah, I see a Republic of California flag. There's just like also State of Tennessee. There's all sorts of, I see a gay flag over there, a rainbow flag. So, you know, and a lot of Gadsden, you know, the Don't Tread on Me snake flag. You see a lot of that. So if they want to make a big deal, there certainly hasn't been any Nazi flag. And if you want to make a big deal about a Confederate flag or a Mississippi flag, good luck with that. I mean, they've thrown everything at us so far. You know, what's the point? This is absolutely not Charlottesville. This is a completely different animal. Because here, you've got mass. This is not like a white nationalist thing. This is just normal American people, almost entirely white, but a lot of Asians also. And it's orderly, and from what I can see, I'm not seeing anything other than, you know, the tear gas that was sprayed. So
great.
And I certainly want to thank the, I know we only have a few minutes left, but I want to thank you, Richard, and I didn't catch your, I heard your guest before because I listened to your show. I recognize his accent. What was his name?
Oh, Graham.
Graham, of course, Graham. I want to thank the two of you for filling in for me.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Yeah, and it was very fun to be part of it, and it, exciting, you know, I'm sure for all the listeners.
Absolutely. And shared in Scotland.
Yeah, and sure. if the best, maybe the best we can hope for today is just to say it's still not over.
Absolutely. Graham, did you have any final questions for Patrick?
No, I had a final thought, though. I just get a sense that this is the... this is only the beginning of something new, something big and something strong. That's the sense I get. It's not the end of anything. It's the beginning of something else.
Well, yeah. I don't see how things can really ever go back one way or another. I don't see how they can go back to before.
This is waking people up, more than 9/11, waking up more people. Well, actually, so has the lockdown situation. So it's like 2 in 1 year, things that are really waking up middle America, if you will, right? Even the so-called normies out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Dr. Slattery. Yeah, I'm always available if you ever need my assistance in the future, sir. And it's been.
I hope to.
Oh, it's been great coverage as well, sir.
I mean, I'll let you close the show.
Okay, I think you cut out for a moment there, but yes, yeah, so I look forward to collaborating with you as well, sir. And I will close for the listeners, and well, we'll see how this develops. Thank you all for listening. Of course, Dr. Slattery will be back. And, yeah, thank you, Graham, as well. Very interesting developments. And glad you could be here with us as well, Graham.
It was very exciting, Richard. It was great to be a part of it, yeah. I got a sense of a kind of carnival atmosphere.
Yeah, I did as well. Well, that's the music. All right, well.
Quite beautiful, yeah.
All right, well, thank you, Graham. We'll speak again soon. Have a good afternoon.
All right, have a good one, Richard. Thank you. That was fun.
Indeed. And please support RBN, folks. And Dr. Slattery will be back for another episode of National Bugle Radio. Have a great day.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.